Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a show that happens twice a week. We're two old guys, and we just talk about old games.
Especially on Wednesdays.
Especially, because this is Original Flavor Wednesday, where we're playing backwards through IGN's Top 100 Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Where do we land today?
Today, we are tackling IGN's 39th ranked game, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for Turtles in Time.
Four turtles? Yeah, there are four turtles.
It's specifically, we're not supposed to play it. It is four turtles.
Warning! You're about to play Ninja Turtles.
But first, I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and when I was young, my mom was really, really into Precious Moments figurines.
God, I was so hoping you were going to say into Ninja Turtles. Like, as you were saying it, I was like, please, please let Tyler have had that mom who was like really into Ninja Turtles.
I would have, if that was true, mom would be here sitting at the table.
No, she wouldn't.
But if we ever do the Precious Moments cast, she'll be there.
Send an invite. Let's do this.
It's Precious Moments figurines.
What are they?
They are very cutesy looking angels or like kids with like the big anime eyes and cats and puppies. Usually some kind of religious scenery. So
I was going to tell a story, but thanks. I'm glad you're telling this because you just reminded me of something I buried a long time ago.
You're welcome. You're welcome for bringing up that guy who molested you with Precious Moments figurines. Something you'd buried long ago.
He gave me all of them, Tyler. All of them.
You want these figurines, boy?
One at a time.
The one with the cowboy hat was so bad. But she had a huge curio cabinet full of these Precious Moments figurines, and she loved them. She adored them.
They're like, the curio cabinet is like the Technodrome. For these figurines.
Yes, exactly. It was huge, like floor to ceiling glass separators.
God,
and like,
all right.
Yeah, like she loved it. Yeah.
So who destroyed it?
Well, I was. The way our living room was set up was like that: the curio cabinet and the TV, coffee table, couch, and the little area in front of the door. So I'd always play with my toys behind the couch. So I remember one day, I'm playing with my Ninja Turtles figurines.
Yeah.
And Shredder is fighting all the Ninja Turtles. He's kicking their asses, but...
Just regular Shredder?
It's just regular Shredder. Okay. It was before the days of Super Shredder.
Okay.
But Donatello somehow gets some kind of power, and he powers up, and he punches Shredder in this head fiction I've got going
really
on.
Really hard, I bet.
He just... Before the Falcon Punch, this was like a Falcon Punch style. Like, he hit Shredder.
Essentially, you invented the Falcon Punch.
Right then, at that moment, I did. And he hit Shredder so hard. What do you do when the villain is hit so hard like that?
You have to throw him across
you
the room.
You have to throw him.
It's in the rules. So, it's in the rules, Tyler.
So, from the couch, I just do like a hook shot and just chuck Shredder. Just like, can't see where he's going. Just like... Kareem Abdul-Jabbar doing a sky hook. I just lean out and whoom. And like I turn back to the turtles and I just hear crash, shatter.
God.
And I look up and yeah, Shredder has sailed through the air into the curio cabinet, through the glass, into a whole level of Precious Moments figurines and just shatters them. So it's just, yeah, Shredder in the midst of all these broken religious icons.
What did your mom do?
Oh, she beat the shit out of me.
There's no covering that one up.
Like that was the rare, like, she didn't wait for my dad to get home to whip me. Like, she took it in her own hands. So
Did you destroy all of them?
Three or four that were on that level. Because there were multiple levels, but Shredder only silted that one. I broke several. Yeah, it was groundings and spankings. Like, oh, she was pissed.
It was, but it was Donatello's fault. Did you punish Donatello when everything was said and done?
Well, the next yard sale, I had to sell a lot of my figurines. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you didn't punish them.
Yeah, mom's like, this is Donatello. Oh, looks like I'm getting 50 cents back on this investment. Put him in a baggie.
I don't have my figurines. You don't get yours anymore, Tyler.
Exactly.
I'm Dave, your bespectacled host. And I was going to tell a story about how Donatello was my favorite Ninja Turtle growing up. So I used him a lot in all the battles I would set up. He fought Bob the Goon from Batman several times. I don't know why
everybody knows about that intense rivalry between Donatello and Bob the Goon.
Yeah, well, see, the Joker, Joker and Batman, they were busy.
I wonder how many kids had both of those figurines at the same time.
Probably a lot. I can't imagine there were a lot of cool parents who were like, we should get our kids the Joker figurine for Christmas. There were probably a lot like mine who were like, yeah, Bob. So I remember I used Donatello a lot to the point where they would have epic battles, Donatello and Bob the Goon. The most ridiculous part about it is I had every Ninja Turtles action figure. That's what I would spend allowance on. I would spend allowance on Ninja Turtles action figures, and I would waste them on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade machine at the 7-Eleven. And my dad, that would drive my dad furious. Furious. I would get my allowance on Saturday because he had the day off on Saturday, so he'd give me my money. And then I would go to the 7-Eleven and come back like 45 minutes later with no money. And every time I would get a lecture on the value of money, and I shouldn't be wasting it on video games. I was going to tell
that
story.
Lesson sunk in.
I was going to tell that story, but you were talking about these precious figures,
precious moments,
precious moments. I remember I had forgotten about this, man, until you fucking mentioned those things. I used to go visit when I was very young, I used to go visit my Grammy with my mom. And I never liked going to Grammy's house. I never did. I just like being at home. It's not much has changed, Tyler. I like to stay home.
Yep.
So anytime my mom would like force me to go somewhere, I never enjoyed it.
Especially
Cracker Barrel. I still, out of spite, won't go. I don't like going to Cracker Barrel because I was forced so many goddamn times to eat a Cracker Barrel.
You and Jacob of Wolf Fighting fame.
So I don't. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sure Cracker Barrel's got great food, but I'm done. I'm done. I feel like that place is like my Blair Witch house. I'm never going back. But I remember going to Grammy's one time, and all of a sudden I noticed all these like porcelain animal figurines that she had. It was all like baby animals. It was like a little baby duck, a little baby deer. I think there was a baby bear. I mean, she had like this whole collection. I can't remember what they were called. Maybe I can find them online. But my attitude changed instantly because I wanted those. I was probably five, and like I had a new reason to live. It was to own these figurines. So I remember when I saw them, my mom was showing them to me. She's like, yeah, don't you like Grammy's figurines? And I immediately turned around and said, Grammy, when you die, can I have these? She ended up setting up like a Zoo Books kind of system where she would send me one a month. She was a pretty kick-ass Grammy.
Do you still have these?
No, I don't. I don't know where they are. I didn't break them. I didn't make them fight Donatello.
It was and then Donatello would smash them whenever Donatello hit them so hard.
Sorry, baby lamb. Donatello just got done beating the fuck out of Bob the Goon. He's got a new target.
Donatello would have these epic battles with Little Lamb.
Bob the Goon's, you know, henchman, Little Lamb. So I don't know what happened to him because I remember my mom couldn't believe that my Grammy started sending them to me. So she they would come in and my mom would let me look at them. And then she'd be like, I'm going to put this somewhere for safekeeping. And I never saw them again. I have no idea where they are. But I was a little kid. So like at that point, I was like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot about those things. So, whatever. Stories. I got a question for you before we jump into this.
Okay.
Do you mind?
Mm-mm. Not at all.
What is your favorite? Who is your favorite Ninja Turtle, Tyler?
Donatello.
I think this says a lot about someone's personality.
Donatello. I love Donatello so much. My first pet that I got to name, my cat, my male cat. I'm sorry, my female cat, Donatello.
Donatello, after the fashion designer.
Yep. After, because I was such, when I was in like second grade, huge Donatello Versace fan.
I'm glad you said that, because like I was sitting here second guessing myself. I was like, is that a fashion designer or just a Ninja Turtle? Let's forget the artist.
It's either one. Donatello is either one or two things.
You like Donatello because he was super nerdy?
He was the smart one.
Because he did machines?
Yeah, that's true. Although I looked this up, and apparently comicbookmovie.com did a big poll as to what the most popular Ninja Turtle was.
Can I guess?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess Michelangelo.
No.
Really?
No. And it has them ranked.
Oh.
And you and I are in the lowest minority. Well, Donatello is the least popular turtle.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Why?
According to them, it goes Raphael, Michelangelo, Leonardo, Donatello.
Wow.
Raphael by a pretty large margin.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did say damn in the movie.
Yeah.
So I think that is swaying a lot of these votes. It is comicbookmovie.com.
Yeah. And then just to make sure, because my favorite was Donatello, I'd go to a Quiz Pop and take What Turtle Are You?
Okay. I haven't taken that. I probably am Raphael.
It was like a 20 to 30 question quiz. It was pretty extensive.
It's like the SAT.
The only one, anytime they asked me what my favorite color was, I made sure I picked the neutral answer. I didn't want that to skew anything.
Yeah.
That's too much.
So they gave you Casey Jones?
He was an option.
Oh, really?
Casey and April O'Neil and Splinter were all options.
What were the
turtles?
What were the leading questions for April O'Neil? Do you like having breasts?
Do you like investigating and reporting things? Is your favorite color yellow?
Right.
Things like that.
Do you have a spare yellow jumpsuit hanging around?
But I was Donatello after I took the quiz.
All right. Can we have a link to that quiz in the show notes?
Yeah.
And everybody listening, if you could post who you got on Facebook, probably on our page. You could probably just do it on your wall if you want, but I want to know if you could post who you are. I'll start a what Ninja Turtle are you post in Facebook. You just post right there. I want to know do we have a bunch of Donatellos listening? Do we have a bunch of Raphaels listening?
What's our turtle audience?
I'm willing to bet we've got a lot of Donatellos. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Because Donatello's cool.
And then looking over here at your comic book shelf or your bookshelf, there is one Ninja Turtles figurine toward the top.
Yes.
Because I was called...
In the box.
On your birthday, I was called by Nikki. He was like, do you know what Dave's favorite turtle is? I was like, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess Donatello.
It's a good guess. A really good guess. Not my favorite turtle to play in Turtles in Time.
Yeah?
Not my favorite.
Who's your favorite to play?
Raphael. Because he is fast.
Because that's the thing in Turtles in Time, all four of the turtles have pretty distinct differences how they play.
Which is not totally new for a side-scrolling brawler, but pretty new.
I'm glad they have more distinct differences because like Leonardo has... Okay, well, actually, before we start breaking... We're now getting into game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into game stuff...
I wasn't trying to skip anything.
I know you weren't. I'm not accusing you.
No, I wasn't trying to skip anything.
I was about to start talking about it, and I caught myself. It's a little segment. If you hear that, you hear that?
I don't hear anything. I heard that. What is that? Are you okay? Do you feel okay? You're making noise.
Nope. I had a lot of deep dish pizza earlier.
So no,
not
we're
feeling
about,
great.
Tyler, no. We're about to have this deep dish pizza for the first time ever. Record it. I don't know what you're talking about. I think that might be the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train, or Tyler's poor approximation of it. The mating call.
Or Tyler's death rattle.
Okay, guys. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. Now, this is just the general Wikipedia entry, Tyler. This is not specifically for the Super Nintendo because they don't... They have a smaller intro for that, but I'm not going to get into that. It was released as Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, Turtles in Time in Europe, which that always threw me off as a kid because all of my relatives knew that I loved Ninja Turtles. Uh-huh. And I had a set of grandparents that would go to Italy frequently, and they'd always bring me back Ninja Turtle shit from Italy, and it would always say Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
That's Do you have any of that still?
I don't think so. A lot of that stuff, when I guess left for college, my mom like divvied out to younger cousins and stuff like that. Yeah. So I don't think I have any of that anymore. But anyway, it was an arcade video game produced by Konami. You might have heard of them. I don't know. It was a sequel to the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game. It is a scrolling beat-em-up game based mainly on the 1987 TMNT animated series. Originally an arcade game, Turtles in Time was ported to the Super Nintendo in 1992, whereupon it was retitled to serve as a sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project. That's why we've got the 4 in there.
Yeah, okay, okay.
That same year, a game that borrowed many elements, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Hyperstone Heist, was released for the Mega Drive.
Have you heard of the Mega Drive
slash Sega Genesis.
I never played that or Manhattan Project.
I played the Manhattan Project.
Yeah,
I remember the polar bear in it. He's like a mutant polar bear that you fight. I'm pretty sure some snowballs are thrown. May or may not.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Polar bears can produce them.
Yeah, I mean that's
from anywhere.
I mean, polar bears make more snowballs than they do baby polar bears.
That's why there's so much snow up there. They produce it.
Yeah, because they
kill off all the polar bears. That's why the polar ice caps are melting, because they're not there to produce the snow to keep it cold.
Exactly. Yeah. And they make the snow because they can hide in it because they're also white.
Right. See, that's God. Nature's so beautiful. I know. just one big circle.
If only the government ran more like polar bears, we'd all be better off.
So this, I always think of this game. My first thought isn't exactly the Super Nintendo version. It's the arcade.
Yeah. Did you play that a lot more?
I guess my first introduction to it was the arcade, because they had at the local Chuck E. Cheese or Showbiz back then, they had one of these. So my friends and I played a lot of this and X-Men, because they were both there.
Which did you like better? Be honest.
Probably X-Men.
X-Men was pretty much the arcade game to play when
X-Men,
we were kids.
X-Men was cooler, but probably at the time, I probably liked Turtles more, but X-Men was just cooler.
Yeah, but it had X-Men had the double screens, and what, 5 people could play that?
Yep. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was only a 4-person machine there, because I don't think we had the 5-person.
Did they have the double screens at least?
I remember just one big one, yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, well. Nice try, Showbiz.
And then, but of course, and honestly, remembering, and we beat the arcade game every time we go to Game Galaxy. That's tradition.
That's tradition. That's the first game we play and beat is Game Galaxy.
The arcade is being fresh on my mind, and the Super Nintendo being fresh on my mind. I have to say, I think the Super Nintendo port is better than the arcade. With the only flaw being the SNES is 2-player as opposed to 4-player arcade.
Yeah, it's a shame.
The only thing I feel like is better.
It's a shame there's no multi-tap option to let 4 people play.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm curious, why do you like the Super Nintendo version better?
It has, there are more bosses.
Yeah, that's true.
What bosses are there make more sense.
Yeah, that's also true. It doesn't look as good.
It doesn't look as good.
It doesn't look as good. It doesn't sound as good.
I guess it's easier too.
I do think the Super Nintendo version is more fun.
Yeah.
I really do.
Because you're not spending like so much time just hitting fucking Leatherhead over and over and over and over. Dying, hit him. Dying, hit.
They do a good... Konami did a great job, I think. Maybe not... They don't do a direct port. I mean, what they do decide to port directly turns out really well. They do a good job. But I think they make interesting design decisions where it's like you're saying, you're not just... feel like you're not pressing the button over and over and over again.
I feel like there are more moves in this, like the special move, a dash move, a back attack move, as opposed to the arcade. I know, like, you can jump and press like a kind of spinning maneuver and hitting. That's pretty much it.
They're all there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they're all there. It might just be an issue. The controller's probably easier to handle than the stick and the buttons,
yeah.
I'm willing to bet. Because there is
At the arcade, at least three of those buttons are going to be sticky and not mushing very well.
Oh, yeah. No, clearly. But I think you're right. It's designed to be more fun and designed because there's Trainsy.
Clear Trainsy.
Clear. Love that Trainsy.
Everybody just soak it in that Trainsy.
No one can hear it, I don't think. I'm afraid no one can hear it. God, Trainsy, you got me off track. I was, the arcade game is clearly designed to eat quarters. Like, the boss battles take forever.
Yeah.
The boss battles take forever. In the Super Nintendo version, the bosses are still challenging, but they're fun challenging because they're not designed to just straight up beat the quarters out of you.
Yeah, very true. And what I was saying before, with the turtle differences, Leonardo, all average stats.
Yes.
Sevens across the board. Donatello has... His reach is his huge advantage.
That
like
reach.
In every Ninja Turtles game.
That reach.
Donnie has the reach.
Mm.
His speed is a little lower to compensate for the reach.
Is he the slowest?
No. And then his physical speed and his attack speed are both a little slower to compensate for the reach, but the reach is still a huge deal.
Yeah.
Michelangelo, he does the most damage. He's the strongest turtle, but his...
He's also a party dude.
It's also, yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
did I know? It's part of, yeah, it's part of.
Okay.
And then he is the slowest character.
Okay.
His speed and attack speed are the slowest in the game. And his mental faculties are also a little slower.
He is the slowest.
And then Raphael, he has the poorest range.
Yeah.
But the highest attack speed and physical speed. And his strength is a little lower than the others.
Favorite one to play.
All the game facts say he is the expert mode of the four turtles.
Oh, I love him. I actually think he's easier to play than like Leonardo or Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. Just because there's so much, like all these levels have, the levels are kind of gimmicky because we haven't really told everyone this, but Shredder sends you into a time warp.
Yep.
And you take control of one of the turtles and you play through different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
So each level is a different time period.
He also throws his henchmen back into every period of time just in case you happen to get there.
Right. They're not only that, they're waiting for you. It's like you could just set up a really big ambush in the present, Shredder, instead of like dividing your forces amongst different time periods. Clearly you're not a brilliant tactician you claim to be.
And something that I feel like is unique about this the Super Nintendo version is it melds different elements of the Ninja Turtles mythos.
Mm-hmm.
In that in the arcade game you fight Toka and Razor from the movie,
right?
But not Bebop and Rocksteady.
Babies.
It seems like those are babies.
Babies.
They are both exclusive to two different kinds of Ninja Turtle creation canon.
Yeah.
But in the Super Nintendo version, they're both there.
And you like that?
I do like that, although the true nerd in me is
It irritates me a little bit. Like, don't get me wrong, I got over it. I don't obsess over it, but it is weird to me that, because, man, I gotta be honest, man, when I was a kid and I was watching Ninja Turtles 2, Secrets of the Ooze, I wanted Bebop and Rocksteady, dog. I did.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I wanted to see Bebop and Rocksteady realized. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. We got Toka and Reza, which, that's fine. They're babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean.
Because, okay, do you know what the real creation canon is? Because in the cartoon.
For
how they come about, because.
Toka and Reza?
Well, the turtles and Splinter.
Oh,
in the cartoon. Splinter is Hamato Yoshi, and he spent most of his time like in New York around rats.
Uh-huh.
So when he gets exposed to the mutagen, he becomes a rat.
Uh-huh.
The turtles have spent more time with Splinter as a human, so they take on human characteristics. That's the cartoon. And then in the movie, Splinter is Hamato Yoshi's rat.
Yes.
He's his pet.
Right.
And then when he's exposed to the ooze, he mutates into human form.
Mm-hmm.
The turtles get lost from a pet shop.
Mm-hmm.
Then they take on human form. So those are always two contradictory elements that always bothered me. And Bebop and Rocksteady and Toka and Razor being in this game, it's like those two things really come into conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe, was it Krang that helped Shredder make Bebop and Rocksteady, helped him? But of course, in the movie,
they
have to hire that scientist to help them, the TGRI scientist, to make Tokud Rezar, and then he fucks with them to make them mentally slow.
The in the original Eastman and Laird comic, it followed the movie. Well, I should say the movie followed the original Eastman and Laird comic.
Okay.
Splinter was a pet rat who got exposed to mutagen and became a human rat hybrid. Okay. And the turtles, I think he just stumbled upon them in the sewer. Oh, it was a boy. A boy was carrying them, and it was all like Daredevil style because the canister.
It's actually, you see in the actual Daredevil comic, you see a kid dropping turtles into a drain whenever Matt Murdock runs into the barrel of radioactive fluid.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I saw that on Reddit that they exist in the same world.
I love that, and I hope we can find that post because I'd love to stop the podcast right now and read that. The canister knocks the bowl out of the boy's hands, and they wind up in the sewer with Splinter, and he trains them.
Okay.
The new IDW comic follows the animated series more so in the origin.
Okay. That is good for me to actually know, because I never knew that, that always bothered me.
Because it's like Splinter was, I think in the relaunch, in the IDW relaunch, Splinter's like their real life dad, and they were all alive in feudal Japan. And then I never got far enough to explain why they're in present day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe Shredder sent him through a time warp.
Yeah. Either he got Dimension X and threw him through, or he had that sword that could cut through dimensions,
man,
or that Chinese lantern that could go back and forth between time periods, like in the third movie.
You know what? There was a third movie.
We're pretending like that and the Godfather 3 don't exist.
That Godfather 3, Ninja Turtles 3, and The Matrix 2 and 3. Those movies. I mean, I heard someone joking about those at one point. Man, I'm glad they never made them.
Man, glad they were just a big farce. A big April Fool's Day farce from 20 years ago. All right, so you want to break down the levels and the bosses?
Yeah, we can. We can. Let's do that. I feel like we've had a lot of hardcore turtle talk.
Yeah.
let's lighten it up with some...
Just some turtle talk.
With some levels.
So, because you start off, of course, in the Big Apple.
Yeah. April O'Neil's reporting at 3 a.m.
Yep.
I don't know what the story was, because it's not...
Well, there are all those cranes swinging those balls in a skyscraper for some reason.
So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is very telling. What happens next?
You're on top of a building, like mostly scaffolding.
Before then. So, April O'Neil's reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens?
I don't remember.
Statue of Liberty's back in the background.
Yes. And then it's stolen.
Krang flies in his super suit and flies away with it.
Uh-oh. I mean, if Carmen Sandiego can do it, Krang can do it.
Clearly. Who is smarter, Carmen Sandiego or Krang? Krang is a brain.
You kill Krang twice in this movie, so Carmen Sandiego.
But here's what bothers me about this. I think April was tipped off. Because clearly she knew this was going to happen.
She's already there.
Why else would she be there at 3 a.m. waiting for the Statue of Liberty to be stolen? Has anyone thought about this?
A little
spin on it. Oh. I think April O'Neil should have been the final boss. Because clearly she's masterminding all of this.
Really, and if you're a Doctor Who fan, you know clearly if anybody had turned away and stopped watching the Statue of Liberty, it would have killed everybody because it's a giant weeping angel.
I was about to say, I've heard you guys talk about that angel before.
Yeah. That's one thing, Doctor. Like, it never moves because somebody in New York is always having to look at it. Because in Doctor Who, they're nigh invincible killing machines, but they can't move if they're being observed.
It's kind of like a Boo in Super Mario Brothers.
Exactly. Only like every time someone blinks, the angel is so many steps closer. So you're trying to keep your eyes open and look at it, but you can't.
Kind of like that adorable ninja cat.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Show notes. Adorable ninja cat.
Then I guess you go up. I'm not sure exactly what building you're in, but you're in a building
fighting stuff.
Fighting the foot.
Right.
The robot foot.
Yes. Let's make that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if no one's played this game before, I don't know why. I'm willing to bet most of our listeners have played this game before. It's kind of a classic.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, there is gameplay footage. Paul of What's Paul Playing Today has put together a video. We'll link that in the show notes if you want to check it out.
And you should.
I think you should. And you should probably play this game. Spoilers.
I agree.
Okay, so I'm sorry. You're in an unnamed building that's being constructed.
Yeah, fighting the foot,
mm-hmm.
scrolling from left to right, and dodging construction balls and
wrecking balls. Picking
up just street pizza. Insert Miley Cyrus joke. Until you get to fly Baxter Stockman.
Yeah.
Not human Baxter Stockman, but already fly. So you have a history with him already. He's already a fly.
Yes.
Baxter Stockman. Mm-hmm.
Half human, half fly for the uninitiated.
So I think he's somewhat challenging, especially his second form when he has his goo gun.
Goo gun.
He flies up in the air. Not a lot of enemies take flight. Mm-hmm. So he's the one you have to jump up and kick.
No, I didn't. You want a pro tip on Baxter Stockman?
Okay.
Here's a pro tip. He's just like a real fly. Don't try to kill him until he lands.
Okay.
If you try to kill him in the air, you're just like when you are trying to kill a real fly, he'll just shoot you with a gun.
Okay.
I think you can actually kill him faster if you do jump kick him, but I like those lives. I play conservative. Mm. I like to hold on to them lives.
That's fair.
Wait for him to land.
Totally fair. But you do, of course, the more you hit the enemy, the quicker they flash red, the quicker they are to being defeated.
Yeah, and there's another difference in the Super Nintendo version versus the arcade is the bosses have a life meter in the Super Nintendo version.
I like that a lot more.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm indifferent. I think it's kind of cool because you can actually strategize a little more mm-hmm. as opposed to just trying to figure out, is he flashing really fast or just kind of fast?
Well, after you beat Baxter Stockman, then you go to Alley Cat Blues.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, just basically the street level of this building.
I guess. I mean, it doesn't really matter, I guess. It's just kind of nondescript.
Yeah, just city street.
Yeah.
There's some scaffolding foot jumping up out of the streets mm-hmm. of the manhole covers.
Throwing manhole covers at you.
Yeah.
You're hitting them back at them.
You don't
want
to walk over one. You'll fall in and be like, oh, who turned the lights out?
Right.
Jump back up. The boss of that is Metalhead.
Metalhead, one of the best action figures, I think.
I agree. And I had that one.
Also, MJ Link's favorite, I believe. Favorite Ninja Turtles villain.
I think. Yeah, you're right. He did say that. And then I remember seeing somebody nerded out, being very upset because Donatello had fixed Metalhead to where he couldn't attack a Ninja Turtle.
Yes.
So how you fight him after this? Yes. They were very upset about it.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one. Maybe Baxter Stockman had something to do with it. Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the man invented the mouser. He could probably reprogram.
That's true.
Metalhead.
Let's see. And then after that, Sewer Surfing.
Completely different.
This is the first big change between the arcade and the SNES.
Because it's just a regular level in the arcade version. But in the Super Nintendo version, it is a bonus level.
Mm-hmm.
In both, you are riding on a surfboard in the sewer, and you're fighting foot, but they don't really attack you in the Super Nintendo version. They're kind of just there for you to kill.
Yeah, just get some points.
Yeah, the more you slaughter, the more points you get. Although, in the arcade version, there really isn't a boss. It's just kind of a pizza monster swarm.
Just that from that one-off episode where... aliens infest mm-hmm. microwavable pizza and turn into giant, look like aliens from Alien, but they're yellow.
Yeah, they're like yellow xenomorphs. And they were the Pizza Hut exclusive video because I remember begging my mom to go to Pizza Hut so I could get this video because I don't think you could get it anywhere else. I think originally eventually they aired it on television mm-hmm. in syndication, but oh man, it was a big deal. Oh man, Tyler, I can remember it clear as day. Oh. Mm. So it ends there in the arcade version. Mm-hmm. You fight the swarm of pizza monsters.
Which is kind of shitty.
It is kind of shitty. Mm-hmm. What happens in the Super Nintendo version, though?
You fight Rat King. On a mechanical raft.
The foot ski.
Okay.
The foot ski. Mm. I had it. It was probably not as awesome as I remember it, but it was a pretty kick-ass bath toy.
That is, okay.
Pretty there kick-ass you go. Bath That's fair. Toy. Not going to lie. There's a... John Turley and I were playing this earlier. He found an exploit like immediately that I never realized was in the game.
What's that?
If you're fighting, because I thought this was a hard boss. I really thought that the Rat King was a hard boss. Mm-hmm. Like I burned through at least 3 lives fighting him on normal. John Turley found if the very first thing you do is go down to the very bottom of the screen, very bottom right. You just attack. He'll never hit you. You'll just push him off the screen like he's a regular foot soldier, and you can just hit him until he blows up.
Nice. Okay, that's good. After you kill the Rat King, then you go inside the Technodrome.
Well, we're Ninja Turtles. I don't think we kill the Rat King.
Okay, you subdue the Rat King.
I think we knock him out.
Push him back into the tunnels from whence he came. But let's see. Then you go to the Technodrome. You see it barreling up, and the whole turtles jump into it. This has a sub boss, so this is different from.
This is also not in the arcade.
This level isn't in it at all?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
This is a special level for the Super Nintendo version.
Because it is a really good level in that it's sub-boss. Of course, you're the white panels and mousers and machines
and lasers. Yeah, you're inside the Technodrome. Yeah.
This is where you fight Token Razor as the sub-boss.
Yes.
Pretty standard, two very hard-hitting, kind of slow-moving, just walk around them, hit them till they die.
Yeah, Razor's the dog man, right?
The wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Wolf. Snapping turtle.
Right. Sorry. Forgot. He breathes fire, and Toka freezes you. I would think like a name with Toka, he would breathe fire or smoke. Yeah,
yes.
I think that you also fight another pair later on, spoilers, Bebop and Rocksteady. I think this sub-boss fight is actually more difficult than Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh, okay.
Because Toka and Razor don't share life. In the Bebop and Rocksteady fight, if you defeat one of them before the other, they both die.
Oh, okay.
So a strategy for that fight is to just focus on one of them and completely forget the other one. But in this fight with Toka and Razor, you have to defeat both of them individually.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. I feel like they're probably tougher than Bebop and Rocksteady, probably.
Yeah, like in a real, like in a fight club situation.
If you had
backyard wrestling.
Turtles fight club, turtles backyard wrestling, exactly.
When you beat them, they turn into their cute original forms, which is also lovely.
And then the boss of this, I really enjoy. It's the most difficult boss fight of the game, in my opinion.
It is. I
love how different it is.
Mm-hmm.
In that you fight Shredder is like a first person view in a machine shooting things at you, and then you see yourselves through his perspective.
Right.
And your turtles are going around. And you're having to pick up foot soldiers and hurl them at him.
And that's what makes it hard, is that throw maneuver is pretty difficult to master.
Yeah.
Extremely difficult to master. Because you have to hit the foot soldier like really quick and then like press towards them and mash the attack button again to throw them at them. Definitely difficult. Also, I don't know if I want to call it an homage or a ripoff of the first boss in Battletoads.
Maybe we're saying homage because of the sewer surfing level.
Uh-huh.
It's somewhat similar to Turbo Tunnel in feel.
I guess.
So I guess the Battletoads turtles, like they were we like this game.
We're gonna call it an homage. Regardless, I think this is more fun than the first boss in Battletoads, where you have to pick up those balls, I think they are, and throw them at the mech.
Yeah. Man. We'll get to that game.
I'm looking forward to it.
And then, of course, after you beat Shredder here, that's when he pushes you through his little Dimension X time gate, and that's when you start hurling through time, and he sends you first back to 35 million BC.
Turtlesaurus.
Prehistoric Turtlesaurus. Mm-hmm. And that's you fighting. Of course, still the foot are still there.
Well, yeah, Shredder sent him back, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, to set an ambush for you. You don't fight any dinosaurs.
No, you see like some running at first, but
some pterodactyls pester you, but
it's still just foot, and you start to see the Dimension X stone soldiers in this level. But other than that, it's the same, just different color foot soldiers with a few different weapon variations, pretty much. I guess that's kind of a complaint about the game, is just you're just fighting different color foot soldiers.
Yeah, at least there's a wide variation of them.
Yeah.
You know, like there are a lot of different colored foot soldiers with different kinds of weapons. Of course, the rule to live by is if it's not a purple foot soldier, kill it first.
Yeah.
Because that means it has a badass weapon instead of just the regular guys who are throwing punches.
Yeah. Of course, the boss in the arcade version is a giant sludge monster.
Yeah, it's like a green slime.
Which I looked it up, and apparently this is the glue monster from some one-off episode of the cartoon.
Oh, no. I feel like such an ass. I didn't realize that.
I didn't know it until I looked it up. I just thought they just like, well, it makes sense for you to fight back then. Mud.
When I say when I said slime ball, it reminded me of something that cracked me up about this game. I don't think Metalhead's programmed right, because when he comes out and taunts you at the end of level 2, he calls you Slim Balls.
Slim Ball.
Which I think is like that's a genetic thing. You're born with slim balls.
Let's chastise Josh of Uniracer's fame with that. Josh, you slim ball.
You fucking slim ball, you.
But in this version, he is replaced, I feel like, much more appropriately with Slash. So
the original Toka.
Yeah.
the original mutated snapping turtle.
Yeah. The very brutal,
yeah,
kind of rugged looking turtle.
The black. He wears the black mask and has the the curved Chris that he uses as a weapon.
He's got the crazy eyes, like he has one round wide open eye and then one like squinting eye. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the demarcation of crazy.
A lot of people think that he is the hardest boss of the game.
I don't think so. I think you're dead on. That first Shredder fight is the hardest.
Yeah.
I think he was actually I didn't have a problem with him. He blocks a lot, but like he'll start jumping, right? And like as long as you get to where he's jumping before he gets there, you're ready to just start attacking him.
Okay.
Raphael comes in handy.
And the next level you go to 2800, something like that, where you're Skull and Crossbones, you're on a pirate ship.
It's a pirate ship. Yeah, I don't know what year it is.
Yeah. You're just fighting pirate-themed foot.
I don't think we're not even in 2800 yet.
Yeah, probably not.
Like now, today.
Okay, well, 2800 BC then? No, that's way before
the pirates. Right, yeah.
I don't know.
It's like 17.
1200?
Yeah, something. I don't know. We don't know.
You're
history,
totally right.
Our strong suit. Well, maybe it is 2800. It's just in our future,
we treat our world so poorly. And we've gotten back to fire times.
It's cyclical.
But normally, in the arcade, this is the boss where Toka and Razor are.
Yes.
But for this one, it is Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah, and they are wonderful because they're dressed up as pirates.
Yeah. Yep.
And Bebop has a whip, and Rocksteady has an epee, and eventually they will fight each other. Eventually they will. Yeah. Like if you fight them to the point where they end up facing each other, Bebop will get his whip tangled up on Rocksteady's sword, and he'll go to pull it. And when he does it, he pulls Rocksteady into them, and they end up damaging themselves.
See, that's
beautiful.
A nice, yeah.
It's beautiful. That's nice that's callback good. To the show.
And then the next level, which I felt probably my most hated level and boss of the arcade game, in the SNES version, Bury My Shell at Wounded Knee.
Yes.
Which is Wild West.
Train
and of
level.
Of course,
watch
train
out.
Level.
Train yep. level.
Lots of dynamite everywhere. And then
barrels. Just inexplainable barrels falling from the sky.
And the boss of this being Leatherhead, the crocodile.
My favorite villain action figure.
Yeah.
Because his top, like he
has some Nolans.
Well,
identified.
I like that, but my favorite thing about it is when he would get in a fight with Donatello, Donatello would always knock the top of his head off. He'd hit him so hard that he'd knock the top of his head off, because the Leatherhead action figure was essentially just his mouth was on a hinge,
yep.
So like the top of his head you could remove. So he always died. He always died. Donatello would always knock the top of his head off.
Of course, in this version, like at first he starts off, he kind of moves like a boxer.
Yeah.
But he throws crawfish at you.
He does throw crawfish at you. I don't know.
Then his knives, but he's like, I've got this black crawfish I need to use up before they go bad.
Yes.
Throw his crawfish at the turtles.
And then barrels start falling from the sky again.
But he is a beast in the arcade.
Yes, he is. I think he's the hardest boss in the arcade, but I think he's actually kind of fun in the Super Nintendo version.
Mm-hmm. I agree. After that, then you start going slightly into the future with Neon Knight Riders. And I think this is 2800.
No, yeah, something like
something
that.
Like that. It's, or is it 2020?
I think it's 2020. Because it's not too far
this
off.
This
right?
is six more years. We're going to get hover cars and neon cities.
God,
everywhere.
I can't wait. This
just
is this
six
level,
more years.
This level is essentially F-Zero.
When were we supposed to get hoverboards? Last year? Next year? Hoverboards?
According to Back to the Future?
Yeah.
I think it was last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember when I was little, I used to think, I'd heard a rumor.
Oh, they're making them. Tyler, they're making them.
They have them, but you had to go to North Carolina to buy them. I don't know why we thought North Carolina was this bastion of technology.
They're just hoarding all their hoverboards.
Yeah. All the scientists in North Carolina making hoverboards. God,
they got on nice beaches and their hoverboards. You just needed someone to hate.
Well, I already hated. I was supposed to, as a UK, brought up on UK basketball.
Oh yeah,
I hated North Carolina. Yeah, only sure second, to Duke. Duke was number one to for you to hate, and then North Carolina.
These are like pretty much tenants.
Yep.
I mean, that's when you live here, you know that.
Yep, it's very true.
You know that.
And then Neon Knight Riders. This is interesting because you start off. The SNES version is different, as you're on a perspective where you're looking down the street, where you're floating side to side, knocking foot off their hover pedestals mm-hmm. before finally it shifts around to the left to right side view.
Where you fight the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Krang, Super Krang in a super suit.
Krang in his suit. Which is, I mean, and then of course in the arcade, then you're just, it's a very long level of just left to right, shooting, hitting, floating things. But Krang in this form, it's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah.
He's a lot harder in his next form. Spoilers, yeah. Which is coming up.
Because the next one, you're way in the future at the Starbase.
Yeah, it's like 2100, I think.
Yeah.
So we don't have that long to wait. Our children might see it, Tyler. They might see Starbase, which is clearly set on Mars in a space station.
Okay. And that's when it's pretty similar to the Technodrome.
Yeah, it's Technodrome in space. You pretty much nailed it.
Yep. And you get the end and you fight Krang in a flying saucer.
Yes. And this... He is much harder.
Yeah, because he teleports around and will put you in bubbles or stick you to stuff.
He'll drop ads, little robots you have to fight.
Yep.
He's really hard to hit, considering he's in a large vehicle.
You can't hit him very often before he vanishes again, so you can't get your good combos on him.
Mm-hmm.
But then after this, then you go in the arcade, you would just be suddenly in front of the Statue of Liberty fighting Shredder with a sword.
Yeah.
But in the SNES version, which is, I feel like this is much preferential, you're back in the Technodrome and you see Shredder. I guess he very covertly drinks all the ooze and turns into Super Shredder.
Super Shredder. And there's a really cool animation where he turns into Super Shredder.
Mm-hmm. And he has more mystical powers and fire and shit like that. It's a much better boss fight.
Am I the only one who thought Shredder looked cooler when he wasn't Super Shredder? I always liked regular Shredder.
I still think Super Shredder.
Because he was lithe, and like Super Shredder just kind of felt like he's too bulky, man. He couldn't move around as well, right?
Man, just that moment, just when they think everything's okay, they just get to hang out with Vanilla Ice, and then bam, there's Super Shredder just looks enormous and badass, just tearing down the dock. I mean, that was just like, as a kid, seeing that in the second movie, I fucking lost my mind. Yeah. That was so amazing.
So it was like Raphael saying damn for me.
Yeah, yep. But then you kill Super Shredder, save the Statue of Liberty. April gets a report on it. She's using you, of course.
So why is he a better fight? I want to get into that just a little bit.
Because all the Sword Shredder does is he'll float.
In the arcade.
Yeah, he has just a beam it's a one-hit kill, turns you into a baby turtle again.
Right, the anti-mutagen.
But really, all you have to do is you just get behind him. He's just Shredder with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And you get behind him and hit him.
Laser sword.
Laser sword.
Please.
Sorry,
please.
Laser sword. But of course, and then this one, and Super Shredder will teleport around. He has ranged attacks and melee attacks.
He'll engulf himself in fire and shoot it at you.
Yep.
He's kind of badass.
It's a much more epic boss fight for a game.
A lot more difficult.
Yeah.
A lot more difficult, but still fun. It still manages to be fun.
Yeah.
In the arcade, I always kind of felt like, oh, wow, that was it? That was Shredder? That was the boss fight?
Yeah.
It's nowhere near like the first arcade game where Shredder's actually like replicating himself and creating shadow clones, and it's a long, nail-biting battle. It's exactly like you said.
Yeah.
In Turtles in Time Arcade, it's just a straightforward... Hit him until he dies.
So you do that, and then if you actually beat it on hard, what? You get some sort of an ending?
You get the ending, yeah, that you get in the arcade, which is... this is one of my favorite moments in this game. You see April O'Neil. She's standing reporting. Statue of Liberty is there. Splinter's there. He turns around and smiles at you. And then the best thing in the game happens. This random-ass kid in the crowd jumps up and looks at you and then disappears back into the crowd. It's just so fucking random. I don't know why they decided to add this kid. He's, like, super distracting. I don't know if they were like, you know what always happens in newscasts? There's always some fucker in the background who wants to be on screen.
Maybe that was Matt Murdock. Maybe that was Daredevil.
Or maybe it was the kid.
Maybe it was the kid who dropped the turtles.
Yeah. Wow. This is kind of, this is mind-boggling.
He's like, hey, all this is my fault.
Wow. We're really going down a rabbit hole here.
But Dave, we talked about, you normally like the challenge. When you enjoy a game, you'll beat on every difficulty and master it. I very rarely do that.
Yeah.
This is one of the few games that I've done that with.
You did that?
I went through every difficulty by myself and beat it and mastered it. I loved this game as a kid. Loved it so much. But I also love Ninja Turtles. I know you love Ninja Turtles, just the entire thing.
I did. I loved Ninja Turtles. So I used to draw them all the time, Tyler.
We're running tight on time, but I feel I've got something for you.
You do? Is it a gift?
Is it a little quiz.
Of the Ninja Turtles from my childhood? Oh, it's a quiz?
It's a quiz.
Oh, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing, but I've got a quiz.
You wanna give it?
I do. I'd like to give it.
Okay.
I'd like to just give it to you.
Please.
Just give it. It's called Tertiary Turtles.
Tertiary Turtles. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Okay.
So it's not strictly turtles per se, but it's all the tertiary Ninja Turtles characters.
Oh, I'm probably not going to be great at this.
I know. I would be horrible at this. Most of it is just like funny that this stuff actually exists in the Turtles universe.
So you're not actually expecting me to do well.
No, it's just
pressure's off then.
The Turtle Boys had a crossover with these bovine boys who were off their ranch.
Cowboys of Mu Mesa?
Correct.
Okay.
The character Ground Chuck is a mutated what?
Bull.
Correct.
I had his action figure.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I never even heard of this guy. A fucking bull named Ground Chuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Half Court is a mutated basketball playing what?
Oh, shoot. See, I stopped collecting the action figures right when they started doing sports shit because I remember thinking, sports? Fuck that. I'm out. I'm done with Ninja Turtles forever. Half Court. I do remember this action figure, though. Fuck. He was like a...
What kind of animal would be good at basketball?
He was like a gecko or something, I thought. A giraffe?
Giraffe is correct.
Okay. Thanks for the hit.
I believe Scrudge.
Scrudge?
Scrudge is a...
Scrudge McDuck?
Maybe it's... I can't read my own writing. Scrudge is a mutant bat who is a part of these characters' gang before he was mutated.
I remember Wingnut was the bat action figure I had. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with this one. He was in a gang, this guy, the Scrudge.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a gang in the Ninja Turtles universe?
He
was a blood?
These two characters.
A blood. Or a Crip?
He was a part of these two characters' gang.
I don't know, man. I'm sorry. Bebop and Rocksteady?
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Okay.
If you see in the background, I remember really early on where they're transforming all of them.
Oh, yeah.
One of them turns into a bat, and he makes an appearance later.
You're right. I completely forgot about that. Thank you for putting that back in my mind.
You're welcome. And that work project, forget about that. Now you remember this bat guy.
I know, right?
And, okay, this one this gorilla was exclusively a toy.
Okay.
If you could name this gorilla character.
Magilla.
Sergeant Bananas.
Okay.
Made by Shredder having some mutagen on his feet and him walking through a gorilla cage.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, I missed that one. Sorry.
What was the mutant worm's profession?
He had to have been a librarian.
He's a trash man.
Oh.
Trash man.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah. He was weird because he was like a bunch of worms, I think. He wasn't just one big worm.
You're right.
That always bothered me as a kid because I was like, how did his mutation work entirely different than all of the others? Playmates, I need some explanations. Lord, Exalted Lord Micah Perdue, if you wouldn't mind, tweet Playmates, please, and ask them why he was completely different than the rest.
He's like a worm that walks. Like the D&D clearly stole the idea for their worm that walks character from Worm, the trash man. Dirtbag is a mutant what?
Oh, damn it. Oh, I remember the name Dirtbag. Oh, you are bringing back some really like buried shit, dude. I love it. Dirt bag. I'm sorry. I don't remember.
It's a dirt.
I know. A mole.
A mole is
okay.
Correct.
Okay. I only need little hints.
You've only gotten. You're doing pretty well. You're doing pretty well.
I like this quiz.
Okay.
I need. Is this a quiz up category?
It should be. This is why the mutant elephant, Dr. L.
Oh, I don't know.
He was created by Shredder, but ended up siding with the turtles for this reason.
Peanuts. Had to be.
Close. Mm-hmm. It's because elephants are friendly, and Shredder didn't know that when he made him.
Okay.
That is off the Wikipedia.
Makes sense.
Related to Half Court,
uh-huh.
Ruff the Ref is a mutant what?
Has got to be a dog.
Flamingo.
See, they got into the sports shit. It was ridiculous, Tyler. Is that around the same time they had like all the Ninja Turtles like playing different sports?
Probably.
Like what was it? Duncan Donnie and like Baseball Leo and shit like that. I think one of them was like, I think Raphael was like a martial artist. But like that is fine. That fits.
I mean, you didn't have the Ruff the Ref mutant flamingo action figure?
I'm pretty sure I probably did. No, like no joke. But the cutoff was shortly after that. I had so goddamn many, Tyler. I'm serious. I'm serious. I had so many of these fucking things.
Hotspot is a mutant kind of what dog?
It has to be a Dalmatian.
It's a Dalmatian.
Also, Hotspot, the villain of 7-Up's Cool Spot.
Oh, shit, Hotspot. In the XXX version of Wet Spot. It's a whole weird different line. But you did a pretty good job on that quiz. You did a damn good job.
I would have gotten
like one of those maybe.
It was fun. I liked it.
You knocked that one out.
I'm surprised there wasn't a Usagi Yojimbo question in there.
I thought about it, but yeah. I knew you would have immediately known. Yeah, no new information to you. Usagi Yojimbo.
That's true.
But I've got some achievements.
You got achievements?
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
The first one is rubber insulated shell. Okay. Normally, whenever they die, they'll go, oh, shell shock.
Yeah.
No, rubber insulation, they're immune to shell shock.
Oh, okay.
So this is how you beat a level without losing a life.
Or maybe they just had some like legitimate therapy sessions and they feel better
now.
Yeah,
no longer shell shock.
They feel better.
It's fine. Gluten-free vegan.
Okay.
You unlock gluten-free vegan by not picking up a pizza on a level.
Oh, okay. Does that include the bomb pizza? Or the bomb in a pizza box?
Yeah. I mean, that could be. That sounds like it would probably have gluten or violate vegan rules.
Okay. These are all very good. Are there more?
The last one I have is Bill Goldberg. You unlock Bill Goldberg by beating Super Shredder. In the movie, Super Shredder is played by the wrestler Kevin Nash. And one of Kevin Nash's primary rivals that beat him a lot in his NWO days in WCW... was Bill Goldberg.
Okay.
Exalted Lord Mike will appreciate that one.
And probably Jacob. Probably a lot of our listeners. I feel like I'm kind of in the minority having not watched wrestling as a kid.
Jacob shouldn't be terribly surprised because I text him, who was Kevin Nash's biggest rival?
That's good. I liked all of those.
Do you think of any while I was saying any?
Yeah, one called Hanging Brain.
Okay.
In order to unlock Hanging Brain... you have to defeat Krang before he goes into the mode where he starts slamming his UFO on the ground.
Okay.
Because that eventually, if you take too long, like, I play super conservative, man. Like, I really, like, my goal when I play this game is to get through without losing X number of lives.
Because you stack up a big pile of quarters, even on the SNES game, and every time you lose a life, you throw a quarter out the window.
I just put it in my computer. It makes some funny fucking noises, but I mean my Super Nintendo.
Gone through 4 CD drives.
So in order to unlock Hanging Brain, you have to beat Krang before he does that.
Okay.
Man, I could probably come up with more, but I don't think I'm going to do better than that.
Okay.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun today. I've had... I have questions for you. I'm worried we don't have time, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you anyway.
Okay.
If you were to give this game a beard, that it would put on in the mornings when it gets ready to go to turtle work. What kind of beard would it be?
It would be the lustrous mane of King Lionheart.
Okay.
King Lionheart being the mutated Shakespearean actor who became a lion.
Yes.
So here yes, you go.
I'm on board. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that it's born with, what kind of glasses would it be?
Well, it's not really born with them, but they acquire them. It would have to be the aviation goggles of Ace
Amelia
Duck.
Okay. Yeah, Ace Duck. Yeah. Yeah.
Piloted the turtle blimp.
Yeah, Ace Duck. Man. God, you're just lighting up my memory banks, dude. It's crazy up in here. Holy shit. I love it. I love this episode. This is a great episode.
I thought you'd enjoy this episode.
Man. Oh, man. I love it. There is something I want to do.
Okay.
Do you mind? Do we have time?
We're good.
On Monday's show, Baby Dibs asked us if what we thought about Little Caesars deep dish hot and ready.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, I've got a slice here. I think we should try it. We should try it. We couldn't answer the question on Monday because neither of us had tried it.
It's true.
So
we're very frugal. We're not going to splurge the extra $3 to get a pizza.
I think it's actually only $2 more. So go ahead and take a bite there. We can bite it at the same time if you want. Lady and the Tramp.
Well, Lady and the Tramp style, beat in the middle.
Yeah. Okay. So there's that.
Okay. Let's
see, I want a pepperoni bite.
Meg thoroughly enjoys this deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
Meg goes crazy for it.
Here's my complaint. It's not really a deep dish pizza. It's really just pizza on a lot of bread.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's just like a thick piece of bread.
Yeah.
I like it better, though. It's definitely better than them.
I like dipping my pizza in marinara sauce, so this does work for me on that level.
Mm-hmm. Would you think it's worth the extra scratch?
No.
No, you don't?
No.
Oh, man, we're divided. No. I think it's definitely worth the $2 extra.
So for when we have to get food, play D&D on Sundays, you'll be like, some of that deep dish. Some of that Baby Dibs recommended deep dish.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think I would, and I'll eat it, and I'll just think to myself, thank you, Baby Dibs, for telling me this existed, because I had no idea. I really had no idea.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever even been in a Little Caesars in many, many years.
No, Blake never sent you out to get some when you were living close to one another?
Nope.
I've got another question. This is kind of lengthy, though.
Okay.
So if you want to cut it out or if you don't even want to answer it, this is mainly, I'm just curious, and I think you would have fun answering it.
Okay.
And I think a lot of our listeners who are familiar with Naruto would probably get a kick out of it.
Mm.
If you were to assign each of the Ninja Turtles a ninja clan or village, because they're all villages in Naruto, right?
Yeah, they're all, yeah.
Where would you place each turtle? And what would their rank be?
I mean, clearly, they don't know any ninjutsu. They're all taijutsu users. The most famous taijutsu users coming from Konoha, which is the Hidden Fire Village.
Okay.
So they're probably all from Konoha, and they're all students of Might Guy.
Okay.
Might Guy.
Okay. Okay. I know who that is.
Yeah. And Rock Lee. They exclusively practice
show notes.
Taijutsu.
Show notes. I want to, can we show the video of Lee taking off his ankle weights?
Yes.
Because that is my favorite Lee moment
ever. I believe I've seen an FMV of that fight done to a Linkin Park song.
Yes,
so I can find that.
I'm familiar with the one you speak of. Thank you for taking the time to answer that question.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode on Other Ship Monday. I'm not sure what we're going to be talking about. We have a few different things we're batting around.
Yeah.
But for next Original Flavor Wednesday, we'll be talking about IGN's 38th ranked game, Kirby's Dream Course.
Okay. All right. That'll be interesting. I think it's going to be hard to follow this game. I really do.
Yeah.
Because I meant to tell everybody this and tell you this when you were talking about beards and glasses. This is an amazing beat 'em up. Like, it really is. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing beat 'em up.
Turtles in Time.
Okay. No, Kirby's Dream Course.
Kirby's Dream Course. I was like, okay, I am having a hard time following this.
No, I'm sorry. No, I mean Kirby's Dream Course is going to have a hard time following Turtles in Time because Turtles in Time is so fucking good.
Yeah, I feel like
so good.
Well, I guess we should address it being ranked 39th. I think it's a little, it's low.
Top like, 25. This game needs to be in the top 25.
I think it's probably the best beat 'em up on the SNES. And being at the top of its genre, it deserves a higher spot.
I agree. I agree 100%. And I do realize that that's a little bit of nostalgia talking, but not much nostalgia. I do really think that on its own merits, this is a really fun beat 'em up.
Yeah, I had fun playing through it again, even today. So, yeah, should be higher.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to distract.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the five star. Give the star five stars. Give the show a 5-star rating. Write a review. If you want us to do a game, put it in the 5-star review, and we'll get to it
eventually.
Matt knows it. We'll get to it a year after you put it up, but we'll get to it.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we will be back soon talking about something, and hopefully you'll still be listening. If you don't, goodbye. We had a good journey together.
We'll miss you. Yeah.
You will be missed. But for those of you who return, we look forward to talking to you again. If you can't get enough of us and our bullshit, in the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. We're going to put a Linkin Park video to Naruto footage there. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't go there. You can also check out some gameplay footage there that Paul's put together for us. There's also Facebook, Tyler. There's also Facebook. That's true. I hope I remember to put a post up there asking people what turtle they are.
Yeah,
I need to really, because as soon as we're done recording, that's going to just...
I'm going to write it down right
here.
It's going
to be out of my mind. So go there and tell us what turtle you are. If you can provide me with the quiz link, we can even post that so people can do it legit. If you have breasts, which I hope you do, please make sure that you're April O'Neil. Otherwise, I get confused.
There is that female turtle in the Turtles live action show, Venus de Milo, who wears the light blue. Yeah.
Oh, Tyler, you just,
mm-hmm.
Why'd you take it to a dark place at the very end? At the very end, you took it to a dark place. You mentioned like the Jar Jar Binks of the Ninja Turtles world. we're also on Twitter. You can find us at tadpog_podcast. Thank you to everybody who retweets us and talks to us on there. I like you guys a lot. Going to throw that out there. You can also call us if you want. Tell us how we're doing. Questions, comments, mainly questions.
Yeah.
Mainly questions.
Under 3 minutes.
Under 3 minutes. Good. That sounds like a good plan. You can call us at 270-883-2555. If you've never called before, now's a good time. I think now is a good time to start. Game 39 is clearly a landmark. So, good things happen at 39, so call us. Tyler.
Yes.
Our intro song is Moves by Sycamore Drive.
Yeah, it is.
A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com. Until next time,
Tropical Capricorn.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-